The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. See the glory of God. Roll away the stone.
Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died. And I'm glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go and die with him."
Roll away the stone, see the glory of God.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world."
Roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. God, roll away the stone.
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, secretly saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose up quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews, who were with her in the house comforting her, saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?"
Roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone, roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away.
So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there'll be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they too took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go."
Roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone, roll away the stone, see the glory of God.
Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So 2 weeks ago, we had the Samaritan woman at the well with Jesus. Jesus being that lavish border crosser, talking and hanging out with people he's not supposed to, and promising all kinds of things, including living water that would well up in us to eternal life. We have that grace through baptism. And then last week, Archbishop Schweitz shared with you about the man born blind that Jesus healed. Never had any sign like this ever been done. And now, there was even some debate. Is this really the blind guy? They called his parents. No one believed that such a miracle could be done. And it gets Jesus in a lot of trouble. What happens next is Jesus kind of pushes the Pharisees over the edge. Jesus raises someone that's been dead for 4 days. No one clearly had ever done this. And Lazarus was well known. You could see him that week making the tour of all the morning talk shows in Jerusalem. Word got out. "Wait a minute. Didn't your brother die? Well, no. It was kind of hard to explain. What's happening here is progressively John is moving this through the seven great signs that show who Jesus is. Right? He is the source of living water. He is the one who is the light of the world and has control even over blindness. And now, Jesus, the resurrection and the life, and anyone who will believe in him will never die. And so we have poor Lazarus forced to live again with Martha and Mary. Come on, he's up there in the glories of heaven, hanging out by the pool with a margarita, chilling. And what happens? Jesus is like, Lazarus, come out. And he's like, no, I knew it'd be ruined. And he's dragged back to earth. And he's got to go back to work. I think I would have been rather offended. I mean, of course, he didn't meet Peter at the pearly gates because Peter wasn't up there yet. So it's a little complicated. But Jesus, there's all kinds of funny lines in this gospel. Jesus is over near the Jordan River, and he says, oh, I love Lazarus so much, why don't we stay here 2 more days to make sure he's really dead? And then I'll go to him. Jesus, come on! If you knew you were going to raise him to new life, go raise him now! Poor Martha and Mary had been crying their eyes out for 4 days, and everyone in Jerusalem coming to comfort them. And them feeling all kind of awkward and nervous because without a man in the house, they were without protection from the law. It was really troublesome. Lazarus is raised to new life. And this is a great thing. It's a great sign. It's the biggest sign in John's gospel of who Jesus is, Lord of even death itself. But there's more to this. Because if we leave this reading as some poor guy who was resuscitated 2,000 years ago, we might miss a lot that's here. And I would suggest that if we look in our own lives, we have cemeteries of a sort where we bury all kinds of things in these little mini graveyards. Think of those old coworkers or college chums who aren't chums anymore. They're ex-friends. And where do we bury them? But somewhere in the dark corner of our life. Old hurt relationships. Someone who's really wronged us, bury them too. Dreams. We've had all kinds of wonderful dreams. And they fall flat. Stillborn. We bury those as well. Until we've buried so much of our lives that we're held bound in a tomb of our own making. And we sit there with the psalmist at the bottom of a grave crying out to God, come and save me. I can't get out of this hole I've dug for myself. I would suggest that one of the dangers of being an idealist and having that vision of what the ideal world could be is giving up on it too soon. And later in life, becoming not Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Dorothy Day, who knew what the ideal was and knew they would never reach it, but instead becoming a cynic. We see that cynic in the reading today, don't we? Oh, sure, heal the man born blind, but you can't do anything for Lazarus. What kind of Messiah are you? Here comes Jesus walking across the water to them. And what do they say? Oh, sure, he can walk on water because he can't swim. Do we live there in that negative place that tears apart the very fabric of God's glory and tosses it aside because it doesn't meet our image of who God is or how God's going to work in our life? How many things have we buried in our personal cemeteries? Ex-friends, ex-spouses, ex-dreams. And are we going to leave them there? Another image that I had while meditating with this is poor Lazarus. Right? We kind of hinted to that. Stuck now back on earth. But imagine being called out of the tomb and you're wrapped up like a mummy. Look, he's wrapped up like a mummy. I think this is so cool. We have daylight savings time. It's like stained glass window savings. Well, last night it was dark and I couldn't show the windows off. So it's stained glass window savings time. But look, Lazarus is all wrapped up and he's called out of the tomb and he's got to get out of there because no one's going to go near it. Right? They could barely, Jesus could barely get him to pry the stone away, and he's hopping out. Like a slug, right? Wiggling his way out of the tomb. He's just stuck in there. You can see him hop, bounce, bang his head on the ceiling. Ow! He's in this little cave. How did he wiggle his way out? I'm suggesting that he needed help. And if we were willing to get our hands dirty and grab hold of some of those burial bands, we could help pull Lazarus out. My challenge for you is that this church is not full. Catholic churches around the country are not full. And there's a lot of people who were once very active in their faith who are no longer. I think you could raise your hands if you know someone who really kind of should be here. They're not going anywhere else, and they're not here now. And it's not because they've gone somewhere else and found Christ in a powerful way. It's because they've given up and maybe buried that faith in their little personal cemetery. What are we going to do? Will we stand like the Pharisees and judge Jesus for healing on the Sabbath? Right? Clearly, if Jesus was a man of God, he would have waited until Sunday to heal the man born blind. Or Friday morning, but not on the Sabbath, Lord. Come on now. Doing some reading, people come back to the church for a number of reasons. They come back to the church because the Pope has finally changed his mind and now wants to teach exactly what they believe. They come back to the church because finally that jerk of a pastor's gone and the new one's here. They come back to the church because women's ordination is allowed and we'll have it momentarily. Or they come back to the church because someone has invited them. The top three I just made up and probably won't ever happen, unfortunately. But the last one is our job. Are we willing to grab a hold of that stone that's holding our friends, neighbors, siblings, spouses at bay from coming and experiencing the Lord? Are we willing to help pull them out of the tomb? Now think about this. If you are here in this church tonight merely to meet your obligation for Sunday, go home. I'm serious. Because if that's all your faith is to you, you might be a little misguided. But if you're here because faith means so much to you, and your experience of Christ, the risen Lord, in your life changes your life on at least a weekly basis, if not every day, then why are we not inviting anyone to join us? Don't raise your hands, but think about it. How often have you invited someone? Like, hey, we're going to go see Much to Do About Nothing. You want to come with me? Oh, yeah, I'll go. Off we go. Or we'll go see Les Miserables. Off we go. I'll go hiking. Off we go. Want to go to church? We never say that, do we? But which is more important? Seeing a wonderful play or experiencing the snowshoeing? Or experiencing the living Lord, God of the universe, as your personal friend and Savior? And being able to feast on that in his body and blood in the Eucharist. If we come to Easter without having our faith change us, we might wonder what we've done for all of Lent. We might wonder what God is doing in us and if it's not falling flat. Right? Jesus needed help. We need help. We need to drag our friends back to the Lord. I'm not suggesting it'll be easier, and I'm not suggesting they're going to say, oh, sure, that's a great idea. I'll be right there. You see this window? This is one of my favorites. Right? It's the paralytic who was put out of business. You can see the poor paralytic and his four friends who drag him halfway across Galilee to see Jesus, find that, right, Jesus is really busy, there's a huge crowd, there's no way to get in, and the paralytic says, take me home, please. And what happens? His friends make a huge to-do and break open the roof above the Lord and lower the paralytic down. Do we love our friends with that same passion? That we're willing to break open the roof or roll away the stone or untie them that they might meet again the Lord of glory, the resurrected one, the God of the universe? I don't know. I'm really happy. I have friends that continually drag me to Jesus, sometimes kicking and screaming, I'm fine, leave me alone. I don't need this. And they say, yes, you do. Come with us. No, no, I don't. Yes, you do. And then Jesus looks and he says, your sins are forgiven. Rise, pick up your mat and walk. And what happens? He goes to vo-tech school because he's now out of a job. Right, Jesus was in the business of putting beggars out of business because he healed them and filled them with new life. And that's what will happen with ourselves, maybe, and our friends. Living at a distance on the edge of society, or at least in the relationship with their God, and then being plunged into the middle of the glory of all of it. Okay, that's your homework. You have 2 weeks till Easter. Come home for Easter. It's the big motto. You can just write little personal notes to your friends. And if they don't believe you, you can send them to the podcast and they can hear me tell you to go get them. Let us join together with Jesus and call ourselves, maybe, because we've buried a lot of ourselves in our personal graveyards. We need to be let go of that and freed from that. But in the process, we can free our friends from anything that holds them back from experiencing their faith at the depth of their being. Let us roll away the stone that they might live again and have that life to eternity.